Open your Bibles, please, to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1303. We'll be reading the first two verses. We'll just read these in unison. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Shall we stand, please, as is our custom here at the First Baptist Church, for the reading of the Word of God? And you'll begin with me, please, there with the very first verse. Ready? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful book you've given us. You've preserved it at great cost to so many, and yet we have it freely. We, of course, are wonderfully pleased that we have freedom to read from this book and to preach its truths. We pray that you'd bless this morning. Our preacher's coming in just a moment. And we want a demonstration once again of thy power and blessing here in this great congregation. We pray that you'd bless those who visit with us. We pray that you'd reach every heart. We pray for those of us who regularly assemble here that you would help us to refresh ourselves. We need something to keep on going, and keep on going we must, for the testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for the testimony of this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
The first 10 minutes of my sermon this morning, you'll think that I'm having a relapse of my senility. And you'll think that I'm preaching a sermon that I preached in recent months. The truth is, I'll be taking about 10 minutes to retrace some ground, and then I'll launch from that to teach you something. Not a deep revolutionary truth, but I think something perhaps you've never noticed before. I want to speak this morning on the subject, lay aside your weights. I'm not talking about losing weight now, though many of you need to do that. Let me read for you my text verse. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that's the folks up in heaven who are watching us on earth today, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Life is likened here to a race. Each of us has his own unique race to run that God has planned for us before we were born. I'll say a word about that tonight. Now, there are some things that hinder us from running that race. One is sin. The other is weights. Now, sin is something that is wrong. Weights are something that are not necessarily wrong, but uniquely would hinder us from doing our own particular thing or running our own unique race. I'll explain that after a while. So, now the Bible says, as you run that race, lay aside your sin and lay aside the weights. Otherwise, you'll not successfully run the race that God has charted for you. Listen carefully to me this morning. Again, I'll retrace some truth that you know and then launch into one I think will help your Father. Help me this morning, because I cannot help these unless you help me. And they cannot help those tomorrow that they come in contact with unless you and I help them today. So please help me as I speak for these moments together with my dear people and those who share with us in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Please listen carefully, sit up straight, and listen. In a few moments, I think you'll hear something that you'll need. The purpose of the book of Hebrews is to encourage us to run the race. You see, God has a purpose for every life here. You're no uh-oh, as I'll say again tonight. You're an on purpose. God made you on purpose, and God made you to run a race that is unique to yourself. No one else has been required to run the race that you run. And that race, the Bible says, is set before us, our text said. Run with patience the race that is set before us. That means that somebody, are you listening? That means that somebody has prepared and charted the course that we're supposed to run and the race that we're to run. Now then, there are two motives mentioned here in Hebrews as to why we ought to run our race successfully. First is, so great a cloud of witnesses. There are people up there watching. Your mother's there. Your father's there. Your loved ones are there. The great prophets are there. The apostles are there. The great Christians of the past are up there. And they're watching us. And they, as in many great stadiums yesterday across America, and even today, God forbid, but even today in stadiums across America, crowds will assemble to cheer those that are yet playing on the field. You and I are on the field. There's a great crowd up there cheering us on and pulling for us to run successfully the race that God has set before us. Now then, there's a second reason why we run the race. The Bible says, so great a cloud of witnesses up there, and so great a salvation in here. Because God has given us life eternal, because God has given us salvation, because God has given us a future home in heaven, because God has given us forgiveness of sin, then because we have in here that wonderful salvation, and up there that great cloud of heavenly witnesses, then we're to run the unique race that God has set before us. Now then, there are two things that hinder us. Don't leave me now. Don't leave me. There are two things that hinder us from successfully running the race that God has given to each of us. One is sin, and the other, weights. I've used this illustration again and again, and I'll use another in a minute that will show you, and it's an old one also. Let me use one of you politicians this morning. Who never saw me before? Raise your hand, would you please? All right, you never saw me before. What is your first name again? Daniel. All right, Mr. Daniel. Brother Daniel, or Danny boy. You never saw me before. And you've wondered what I looked like. And suppose this morning that you came and you said, I want to see what this guy looks like right away. I'm going to get there early. I'm going to go out here on the corner. I'm going to watch him drive up, and I'm going to see what he looks like. Well, okay, it's about 9:15, and Ms. Howes and I drive up, and I'm on a motorcycle. And she's behind me on a motorcycle. Both of us have on blue jeans, and both of us have on our helmets, and I have a leather jacket on. She has a turtleneck sweater on, and I'm driving up there on a motorcycle. Would you be surprised? Very surprised. I guess you would. Now, wait a minute, sir. Is it a sin to ride a motorcycle? No. Anybody here have a motorcycle? Raise your hand. Well, that's not a sin. It's sort of dumb, but it's not a sin. Now, what I'm saying is that's not, but for me, that would not project my image properly as pastor of this church. And you'd be a very shocked and maybe a tad disappointed. Now, if you rode up on a motorcycle this morning, I likewise would be disappointed and surprised because that would not be appropriate for you. But if one of these teenage boys rode up on a motorcycle this morning, it would not be a weight. It would not hinder their testimony at all. So a weight is something that is not sinful, but would hinder us in the unique race that God has prepared, planned, and set before us. Now, let me see if I can illustrate with a coastal. We've done this before. Stand right up here, would you please? Brother Colston, I challenge you tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. There is a 6 o'clock in the morning. I doubt if you know about that. The big thing that's overhead when you wake up every morning is over in the east at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I challenge you to run a race with me tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, okay? All right. In the shape we're in, how about a 5-yard race? How would that be? All right. So we're going to run a 5-yard race tomorrow morning. Okay, go back and get a good night's sleep. I'll see you in the morning at 6 o'clock. So next morning, tomorrow morning comes, I've got on my jogging shoes, my running shoes. I got on my sweatshirt and my sweatpants, and, boy, I'm out there getting ready to run the race. Here comes Brother Colston up. Brother Colston is staggering. He says, "Good morning, Brother Hiles. How are you today?" I said, "Johnny Colston, you've been drinking, right?"
"Yes, sir."
"I cannot believe that you'd go out and get drunk." And he said, "I sure have been that drinking. Let me ask you a question. Is that going to hinder him in the race he's going to run with me? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no?" That's sin. All right. Now, Brother Colston, you're not going to run a good race if that's sin. So on your knees here and say, "Dear God.
Dear God.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For getting drunk.
For getting drunk."
Amen.
Amen.
Boy, glory to God, he's forgiven. Wonderful. And you're fired. Have a seat. All right. Now, that's good. Now then, gone, 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 gone. Yes, his sins are gone. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every sin of his life rolled away. Now, tomorrow, I'll give you a second chance. How about tomorrow morning? All right, 6 o'clock. Okay. So 6 o'clock tomorrow morning comes. I got my running shoes on, and I've got my sweatpants and my sweatshirt on, and I'm all ready to go. Brother Colston shows up. Sober as a deacon. Good night. As some deacons, and sober. So he's ready to run the race. So he laces up his combat boots. He tightens his helmet and buttons his overcoat. Ask a question. Is he going to win the race? Please accept my resignation. I'll go on Social Security. I don't have to put up with all this. Now, the truth is, if it's 10 yards, he might win, but I believe I can beat him at 5. Now, wait a minute. Is it a sin to wear combat boots? Yes or no? Is it a sin to wear a helmet? Yes or no? Is it a sin to wear an overcoat? Yes or no? So, but his weights that are not sinful will hinder him in running the race as much as his sin would yesterday morning. You follow me? Have a seat. Now, that means there's some things that are not sinful you're not supposed to do. For example, I have a preacher friend who was a state champion in Florida in won the state amateur golf championship several years in a row. He was a pastor. He had to quit golf because to him, golf was consuming. He could not be what he ought to be as a pastor. That was a weight, not a sin. Not sin. Me, I love sports. I have always loved sports. But I can't follow it a lot. I mean, I just can't because I get wrapped up in it. And as you know, I had to quit pitching ball because I was a little bit hot-headed. And it was a, now nothing wrong with pitching ball. Nothing wrong with sports. But I rarely ever go to a game of any kind. I rarely ever watch one. I rarely ever listen to one. I cannot get involved. It's a weight for me, not that it's sinful. I know one famous preacher that quit the Sunday paper because he could not read the Sunday paper and preach on Sunday as he felt like he should. Now then, we still haven't hit the bullseye. Hold it. Don't leave me now. I'm coming to the sermon. Lay aside. We have a race to run. We lay aside sin and weights. That which is wrong, that's sin. That which is not wrong, but would keep each of us from running his own unique race. Our sin's the same for everybody. It's a sin for anybody to drink liquor. It's a sin for anybody to commit adultery. It's a sin for anybody to lie. It's a sin for anybody to steal. It's a sin for anybody to watch some of the filth on television these days. It's a sin for anybody. But our weights are not necessarily our sins. They are things like the boots, like the helmet, like the overcoat that keep us from running the race. Mine are not the same as yours because my race is not the same as yours. But you have some and I have some. And I get a little tired of Christian people saying, "What's wrong with that?" Nothing has to be wrong with it. If it hinders you in God's plan and race set for you, then it's wrong. And you shouldn't do it. Now, wait a minute. We still haven't hit the bullseye yet. Don't miss it. The word here for weights, let us lay aside every weight. I checked my Greek New Testament to find that that word means burdens. Lay aside every burden. Now why? Because the thing that will keep more people from running the race than anything else is life's disappointments. life's heartaches, life's sorrows. I have a child that went bad, so I quit teaching my Sunday school class. My husband's passed away. I can't keep on going and doing the things I've been doing all along. I have a child that has cancer, and so I won't run the race. Now, what God is saying here is he's saying that keep on running the race even when burdens come. Let us lay aside every burden, if you please. What he's saying is, don't let your burdens interfere with the race that God has set before you. Keep on going when the heartaches come. Keep on going when the trials come. Keep on going when the burdens come. Keep on going when the sadness comes. God is saying here, lay aside every weight. Now, I've preached all my life. That means that for me, a motorcycle, and for a fellow, somebody else, it's golf, and for somebody else, it's a Sunday newspaper. But that's not what the big teaching is. The big teaching is that when heartaches come in your life, and they will come, and when burdens come in your life, and they will come, you just keep on running the race that God has set before you. He is saying, you have suffered a great loss, but you must keep going. He is saying, bear your burden, hold up, take it, but keep on running the race. Don't resign because you got burdens and heartaches. A man said to me, came to me and said, Brother Hiles, I have four children. They've all grown up in First Baptist Church, and not a single child has turned out to be church-going people. And the truth is, they're not living the life that you and I believe they ought to live. And I think I should resign my Sunday school class. And I said to him, I don't think so. And he said, why? I said, because if you have failed, I don't think you have, but if you have failed in rearing your four children in God's name, you've got some ground to make up. So you keep that Sunday school class. And you dedicate yourself, if yours didn't turn out right, you help somebody else's child turn out right. So listen, this great sea of thousands of faces this morning, behind every face, there's a burden, there's a heartache, there's a broken heart, and God is simply saying, if you've got a race to run, lay aside your sin, but also lay aside your burden. Don't let your burden, that is, weights, keep you from continuing in the race that God has set before you. You have a child or you're alone. Your husband's been taken to heaven. You keep on running the race that God has set before you. You have a husband to encourage, but suddenly your child has become ill, seriously ill. You keep on encouraging your husband. You have a wife to support, protect, and secure. And heartbreak comes. You keep on supporting that wife and protecting her and securing her, even though the heartbreak has come. You have a class to teach, but a heartache has come into your life. You keep on teaching that class. You keep on going. Don't you turn back. Keep on serving God. Lay aside not only your sin, but lay aside your burden for a while and just keep on running the race that God has set before you. You have a church to pastor. Your heart has been broken. Keep on pastoring that church. You have an institution to lead. You have personal burdens. You keep on leading that institution. You have a task of training young people to serve God full time. Here he is right here on the platform, my good friend Dr. Carl Lorenz. He has a race to run. His race is training young men to get out here and build some great churches for God and preach this book and get America turned back to God. And this man is trying to teach you to do it. But all of a sudden, he's stricken with illness after illness after illness and now carrying a cane, almost blind. But he keeps on going. He's laid aside his weight. He's laid aside his burden. And he said to his burden, you're not going to stop me. I have a race to run. You are preparing to serve God full time. You're a student at Hiles Anderson College, or your husband is. And it's tough. The burdens come. The heartaches come. You have to, your husband goes to school by day and he goes to work by night, or maybe he goes to evening college. He goes to work by day and goes to school by night and you're having a tough time. God is saying, I have a race that I have set before you, and whatever you do, you finish that race. Lay aside your sin. That keep you from finishing the race, but lay aside your weight also. Let me illustrate. Your husband's been stricken. Stay in the race. Your wife has cancer. Stay in the race. The child has broken your heart. Stay in the race. Your mate has left you. Stay in the race. You have cancer. Stay in the race. You face life alone. stay in the race. Your child is afflicted. Stay in the race. Lay aside that burden. I don't mean that you don't have the burden, but lay aside that burden and don't let that burden keep you from running the race that God has set before you. It is a Dan Wolf who stood here and sang in my Sunday school class this morning with an arm amputated, but in charge of the activities at Hiles Henderson College and keeps on going for God. It's a Dr. Laurent staying in the race. In spite, no, most people like him right now would be in a rest home. But he is not there. He can't afford it. But he's not there. You know why? Because his race is not yet finished. And he's going to finish that race. So he's laid aside his blindness and laid aside his bad health and goes to his class and teaches his class. It's a Don Boyd sitting over here. Found out he had cancer in one eye. The eye was removed. He now has one good eye and one artificial glass eye. But he's still principal of Hammond Baptist High School. And he still keeps on going. He laid aside his weight and kept on running his race. It is the Dr. Evans with two incurable diseases, a pernicious anemia and orneriness. With two incurable diseases, as president of Hiles Henderson College. But he stays on at the helm of Hiles Henderson College. It is a Mrs. Evans, been fighting cancer for years and still fighting to live, but she keeps on having the women's spectacular. It is nearly every man on this platform today has burdens that you don't know about. But bless God, they keep on going. My fellow workers, and you would not understand all the burdens and all the heartaches and all the sorrow behind these men's face on this platform. But they keep on going. Why? They lay aside their weights. They lay aside their burdens and keep on running the race that is set before them. It is you, dear widows, whose memories are wonderful and precious and sweet. The place beside you in bed is empty. An empty place at the table. And there's an empty place in your life and your heart. But you keep on trudging the church. You keep on teaching that Sunday school class. And you keep on serving God. You keep on working, in some cases, your bus routes. That's what I'm talking about. That's what God's talking about. Lay aside every sin. You've got a race to run. Lay aside that drunkenness. Lay aside your boots. Lay aside your helmet. Lay aside your overcoat. You've got a race to run. But also lay aside your weights, your burdens, your heartaches, your sorrows. Don't let the negatives ruin your running your race. It is you bus kids who go from hell to heaven and back to hell every Sunday. Your dad didn't take the offering a while ago. Your dad doesn't sit on the platform. You don't know who your dad is or where he is. You've got a burden. But don't let that keep you from mounting to something. It is that great sea of lesser known people in this church whose names are never called from behind this pulpit, but Brother Hiles knows you're there. They keep on going and running the race in spite of their weight. It's Randy Rogers over here who paralyzed his neck down, but is employed by First Baptist Church of Hammond and comes to work here. It is the Brock family, the three little children born the same day, triplets. One died soon thereafter. Another precious little girl, now several years old, is totally blind. And the other has a serious incurable disease that doesn't let him enjoy life like other children do. But they keep on going. Why? They don't let their weights keep them from running the race. It's a Mr. Shadell who still limps because of a serious accident, but he's always on the job here. It's a Levon Haygood, crippled almost from birth, and now in a wheelchair as a middle-aged lady most of the time. It's Levon Haygood, keeps on coming to church and keeps on doing her job. It's Mrs. Whitting with her Parkinson's disease, a lovely middle-aged lady who has to sort of walk like this, but bless God, her smile is still on her face, and she still comes and does the work for God and hasn't let Parkinson's disease keep her from running the race. It is a Trina Staten who, as a very young married lady with some children, lost her husband to death. But she keeps on going, and last Sunday morning We had a book to sell that she wrote about her husband's life. It's a Michelle Sikma, who likewise lost her husband, has a couple of young people in there around 30 or 37 years of age, and she keeps on going. I'm simply going to say, see, God knows here that the thing that will trip us up most is if we have our burdens. In some cases, we don't feel worthy. Let's suppose the Sunday school teacher mentioned a while ago, wanted to design his Sunday school class. He did not feel worthy to teach somebody else. I've got news for you. There's not one living human being who's worthy to serve God or teach that book. If only worthy people. But we have commands to keep on going and keep on running the race. And lay aside your sin. Lay aside for me a motorcycle, for somebody else to golf. And then also lay aside the heartaches and sorrows and burdens of life, and you keep on going. It's an old story. One of my favorites. Illustrates what I'm trying to say beautifully. As I said a while ago, I'm a sports nut. I love sports. I can walk down the sidewalk and see two doodlebugs running a race. And I'll stop and pick one out and cheer for him, and I have never yet picked the right one. I'm a Cub fan. One of my heroes in sports was a man years ago named Jim Ryan. By the way, he's a politician now, Jim Ryan. Jim Ryan at one time was the fastest mile runner, held the mile record for the mile run in America. Clean young man, decent young man, until he became a politician. And but a decent young man. And Jim Ryan held the record. But one thing Jim Ryan had never done, he'd never had a chance to have an Olympic gold medal. He was the best mile runner in the world. Olympics came. Time to run the Olympics and time to finally have the opportunity to win the elusive gold medal that he'd sought. I was preaching in Kingsport, Tennessee. Dr. Rice preached first. Jim Ryan was to run the mile run. Just about 7 o'clock, service started at 7. I told Dr. Rice to go on and I'd come later. I want to stay in prayer a while. I was praying for Jim Ryan. And I got to service before Dr. Rice preached, but I was late because I wanted to see Jim Ryan run. I was as nervous as he was, sitting there and watching that television set in my motel room. And there they lined up for the mile run. He was one of my heroes. He's got to win. And everybody in the world thought he would win the mile. The gun is shot, goes off, the race begins. Jim Ryan always would lag behind and end with a finishing kick and pass everybody on the last lap. So we weren't surprised to see that Jim Ryan was back in the pack and others were ahead of him. And all of a sudden, he tripped on the fellow beside him. How many of you saw that? Yes. He tripped on the fellow beside him. And the two of them tumbled into the infield or on the cinders of the track. And Jim Ryan was hopelessly out of the race. His dreams shattered. The other fellow crawled over to the infield and sat there and watched the race. But not Jim Ryan. Jim Ryan gets up. He's way behind the last man. He'll never catch up. He'll finish last. He knows that, and he did finish last. But he gets up, and he runs, and he runs, and he runs. And a long time after the last place man before him had finished, Jim Ryan crossed the line. I don't know what you were doing, but there was a middle-aged preacher in Kingsport, Tennessee, in a motel room, standing on his feet, tears running down my cheeks, cheering a man that finished the race. He couldn't win, but he could finish. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. Now, it may be that you can't win the race, but bless God, you can finish the race. So when Jim Ryan fell,
on the sinner. That's what the scripture is talking about. Lay aside every weight and run with patience the race that is set before you, until the day comes when you can say with the Apostle Paul, I kept the faith. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. This morning, you have a job in life. Don't let anything stop you from doing it. You have a race to run. Don't let anything stop you from running that race. Lay aside your sin. Lay aside your motorcycle, if that is it. Your golf, if that is it. Your Sunday newspaper. But that isn't the main thing it's teaching here. The main thing it's teaching is don't let your burdens keep you from finishing the race. Stay in there. Hang in there. Tough it out. Throw back your shoulders. Stick out your chest. Throw in your chin. Raise your arm high and say, burden, you're not going to defeat me. You're not going to lick me. I am going to defeat me.